Blog Talk Radio.
Behavior before from the colonizers, from the devils. We've had it for 400 years. We probably have longer than that. I'm going all the way back to the African slave traders, to the Portuguese slave traders, to 4 or 5, 6 European nations that took part in the slave industry. This is all. Did I say I'm Kason? If you didn't know, now you know. This is Kason and friends. My name is Citizen Eric Payne. That's my name. If you got an issue with it, get out. The free man. The problem is that one of my heroes used to say that was outside the house here. Nominated, as you say. And I said, we can't get along. We got to get along. And if you know who that is, then you know we ain't playing. Because that man knew everything for what he believed. Clay Muhammad Ali. I'm going to call him by his name. Be called by. But anyway, that's Chuck and Boys, Fight Power. Came out at a very historic time, actually. I believe, maybe was it a Howard Beach incident or a Tawana Brawley incident or something where a black man was killed by the police. Like depicted in the movie. Had a particular critic, Joe Klein, I'll never forget, particular issue in his criticism of the movie. And even other folks, not necessarily him, on a particular point, talked about it would incite riots, things like that. How cyclical these issues we have to deal with people, that every time we start telling the truth or the true story, I don't know what history anymore. Realizing why it's called history, right? Jokingly, people have said it's history, but it is their story. Because if you look at responses to critical race theory, to Toni Morrison's book being bought, giving the kids nightmares or whatever, fabric the story, make up a narrative to what these barbarians, these savages, seem vile and humane. It's a story that none made the fuck up to feel better about themselves, I guess, or to justify their brutal savage behavior, I guess. Or maybe they just didn't have no other reason. Maybe they just had envy of the original people, you know? Maybe there's just that much, you know, some I used to say, and I haven't said it often, that Cain's, you know, this story of the Bible, allegedly Cain slew his brother Abel because Abel had favor in God's eyes. Do you think maybe Cain is the white man and Abel is the black man? I don't know. Because then you're getting real. I mean, maybe, why not? Why not? Because, I mean, if God can be white, then why can't my version or my thinking or my assumptions through my experiences, why can't the evil one be, you know, the jealous one be white? I don't know. I'm sure some people would probably try to cancel me. Like, I give a fuck. I used to wear orthopedic shoes growing up, so you know, I don't give up. You know what? Grew up in a neighborhood, moved to the suburbs after the uprising in Newark, where I caught hell from time to time. It was a very liberal community, but there were people there that gave you shit. When I was in that community, then went back to my old neighborhood because I sounded a different way because I had been away for a minute and talked a little bit different, which I don't think I ever talked different, but it was more noticeable now. I caught hell in that neighborhood from time to time, you know, little bushy, white Oreo, whatever people want to call you, or when we would go play other more black prominent teams. And we're all the time during these formative years having to wear orthopedic shoes. So I say that to say, I don't give a fuck. Say what you want. Come how anywhere you want. And when you come, bring friends and bring lunch. Because it's going to be an all-day affair, baby. Rumble, young man, rumble. That's what I'm talking about. Some of these cats, they want the smoke. It's like what they said, Wyatt Earp, one of my favorite movies in Tombstone. When he says, you wanted to bring down the thunder, now you got it. We ain't looking for trouble, but we ain't taking no bullshit either. Sitting here listening to all this stuff. I lost my point. But you know what I'm saying. I'm watching Joy Reid, as many of us do around this time. So we happen to see how an individual talk about when do we start killing these people. Because they done made up the shit that the election was stole from them because they can't have shit the way they want it no more. So now they're ready to kill. They're making it plain. They're making it crystal clear. And all of the actions, to me, of the individuals in positions of responsibility, you know, positions of responsibility, they're making it plain. The Republican Party is making it plain to me. Republican means racist to me. They're making it plain. We don't want black people to vote. We don't think you have the nerve to vote or the right to vote. How dare you live free and try to have any type of life where you can determine your own destiny? How dare you? Yeah, there's jealousy in that. There's jealousy in that. So come get some if you want some. Like Mr. T used to say, you know, Mr. T first came to notoriety in Rocky III. And one of because they had to come with an opponent. That both of them guys, Apollo and Rocky, had to come together because this guy was such a beast, he was such a force to be reckoned with. Clubber Lang, that's the name, Clubber Lang. Mr. T, who else could play that? And that's when Mr. T was, you know, a brother with a mohawk looking like a Mandingo warrior before we all really knew what that was about. And my favorite one, a part that I always remember, you know, Mr. T's training, and he just, he's hungry. You know, but if you watch the fight, I love Sylvester Stallone. You know, I know I'm talking white, black shit, but Sylvester Stallone is one of my favorite actors. I don't give a shit what you say about his acting. Maybe not be that good, but that's my man. If you look at his movies, particularly Rocky, I'm getting sidetracked here, but real quick, particularly Rocky, had it been a Scorsese movie, I'm sure the N-word would have been thrown around a whole lot, would have been thrown around, period. That whole vibe that they had, you know, they wanted to say nigga and all that. And Sly never wrote that in. He never referenced that. That's something to be paid attention to, right? Because if you look at the storyline, you look at the vibe, you know, in real life, them cats would have been yelling the N-word left and right the whole nine. He never did that. Just a little note, something that I noticed. And also I like Sloan. He reminds me of a friend of mine I grew up with. So anyway. Getting back to what Mr. T's vibe was like when he fight, he's like, I got a lot of mo. Never going to give up. Too strong. Forward ever, backward never. You know, I've been watching on, I'm going to bring the fellas in, the legendary newsman Wayne Gilman, the legendary historian Byron Saunders, but I've been watching this series on YouTube last night called Africa, and it's this sister, Zendembi, I don't even want to attempt to say her name, but I can put it up right now on my history on YouTube. It is the history of Africa, and the series, and the sister is Zainab Benwadi. So, and she's a British. It's done by the BBC. If you can watch it, it's on YouTube. And it was talking about, I just started watching, and you know, you watch one thing YouTube, and they just roll over. And it was the history of Africa and things like that. Slavery and Salvation was the first one. I think Slavery and Suffering was the first one I started watching last night. And then it just rolled this number of series. So I say that to say I'm a little extra heated. I see that stuff and see the news of what these devils are trying to pull off consistently from John Eastman on down to the dude, you know, on the from Idaho talking about when do we get to start killing these traitors or whatever and start shooting them. That somebody actually can actually speak up and say that. But, you know, the White Citizens Council, that's why I say they're the racists. And that's why I say those of us of a certain age have been here before. We've seen this before. Ain't nothing new. But we must learn from the past to how we're going to deal with it this time. Bring the fellas in. Let me bring in Byron Saunders, the historian. Byron, how you doing, brother?
Good evening, my brother. And then you started me off on a well, I mean, fight the power. Come on, it's like yes, all right. And I'm gonna. But you brought me back to a spiritual place, which I want to say this because you asked the question in a roundabout way, saying why tell you why. It's in a very spiritual place that only those from the motherland. Motherland being Africa, can understand it. Our relationship with the Most High is older than Hinduism, Judaism, Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam. Think about that. It was established long before the names of Jesus, Muhammad, or even Buddha were ever uttered. We are the original, the first, the Alpha and the Omega. Now you ask the question because there is an answer. Cain and Abel, yes, but it goes back even further than that because you have to go back to this written scribe. Because remember several weeks ago I asked you, when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, did they really come tumbling down, or is that just metaphysical speaking, just Bible talk? Because at the point at which, if there is indeed a higher, and we are, as archaeologists have defined, the original man, and he's talking about black people, and that every descendant from us, whether white, as written, because if you read Genesis, there was a whole lot of begetting. What does that mean? And they begat, and they begat, and they begat. That means there was procreation going rampant. Now, one of the Bible verses that you don't know about, but many do, especially us of the original people, know of the Book of Enoch, because it answers that question about where did these devils come from. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, but when you talk about fight the power, we're talking about what the Nation of Islam was trying to impart to us as perhaps an original story that we all of a sudden wanted to debunk. So when they're talking about kill these people like that guy in Idaho, he ain't talking about killing white people. He's talking about killing us. They want to have that civil war. And when you have a judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse case who then says to his the prosecuting attorney that he doesn't want to hear the victim who he killed and shot, a 17-year-old boy with an AKA walking down in the middle of the street, not from that particular area, brought in a weapon across state lines and was guilty of killing and wounding, and the judge says you can't call them victims, you have to call them rioters.
What? And looters.
What? And looters? What? Last weekend I told you, because y'all, I'm dropping some wisdom here tonight, folks. Because you brought me to, I'm in a very spiritual place, and I'm not going to let people take me out of that because they want me and you and Wayne and other really intelligent people to step away from our nonviolence to become extremely violent. Everything is confrontational. When you talk about who would be that individual entity that would want us to go into this civil conflict of race against race. Certainly not a higher authority that we may call God. I don't know what you want to call him, because that's not why we were created. That's antithetical to the very concept of creation. You don't kill what's supposed to be your most precious thing in life. And then when you start to equate and giving a 17-year-old bypass, a free pass. Now we're talking about Emmett Till. Now we're talking about every kangaroo court ever assembled in this country. And that is the reason why we can't trust people. Now think about this. We got a governor's race in Virginia. And if the governor is lost to the GOP, who do we blame? We're supposed to have all the power right now. Democrats keep telling us, Senate, Congress, and the White House. But who are we going to blame? There's two people you're going to have to blame, Manchin and Sinema. They have the power. We can flip this quickly. Whose side are they on? And when we come back to that point again, because if they're not on our side, they are our enemy, and they're protecting the enemy. Okay? Be very clear about this, and I'm going to say this loud and clear. Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, you got this power because we, the black people, voted Democratic. And if there's anybody who's owed anything in this country for saving democracy, it is us. And you're spitting in our face. And we have a long memory. And I'm telling this you right now, if the governorship in Virginia flipped to a Trump Republican, black people are telling the Democrats, we will not forgive either them or you for effing this up.
Okay. So let's bring Wayne in, and very newsman. Got a lot to put in. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. How you doing, Wayne? What's your perspective?
Good evening, gentlemen. I don't even know how to follow that. I mean, I just wanted Byron to continue venting because all of us are pretty much going through basically, you know, every morsel of what he just expressed is something that anyone with any, you know, place of an understanding of history, our history, and seeing what we're going through, it just seems to be a throwback, you know, to the days of the early days of the civil rights movement, Jim Crow, and it's unfathomable. I mean, I can't describe the lunacy of it, but at the same time, you know, it's very dicey. We got very lucky in California in that contest where the governor was reelected. I am hoping like hell that McAuliffe could pull this off in Virginia. You know, it's and then you mentioned the Rittenhouse case. The handwriting is on the wall, and again, I go back to media coverage of what's happening out here and the importance that our people, we have to bring them along. I hate to sound like I'm trying to be, you know, what's the word am I thinking of at the moment, but, you know, I'm not belittling, for lack of a better word, or, you know, trying to make them seem like as if the black populace is probably not as informed as we are. That you know, that I'm belittling them, but, you know, those folks who have not been through some of the struggles that we've gone through, just to have what little progress that we've enjoyed in the last 50 years, they can't afford to be impatient. They have to understand where this fight began and why we need to take it forward. We have to pay forward, you know? And it's just one of those things. It just saddens me every time I channel surf, and occasionally I'm prompted to see what the opposition is saying. And the rhetoric that they get away with is appalling. You know, Jeanine Pirro, former district attorney in the very county I'm sitting in here in New York, Westchester, you know, has been given a platform to sow bigotry, racism, and with no accountability, and all the other folks that they have on that line up there at night, and even the news department, because it's a thin line. Sometimes they're not biased, sometimes they tell it like it is until it's like thrown in their face, and then there are times when, you know, oh, I didn't mean it that way, or, you know, they come up with all sorts of stupid excuses, but it goes back. This is like an agenda. Why can't we have the infrastructure bill passed? Why can't we tax the rich? You know, we have to pay them. If we don't get the billionaires and these corporate America to pay the increase in taxes, guess where that freaking money's coming from? You know, I just filled up my SUV up, $45 full tank, and I'm talking about regular gasoline at $3.60 a gallon. I'm trying to heat my house here, and unfortunately, I hadn't segued to gas heat. But even at that, it's expensive. Even if I were paying for gas, you know, to juxtapose that with oil, you know, I mean, people are catching hell, and I tell you one thing, and this is why we cannot afford to lose it. They're going to turn around and say, all right, we put these Democrats in. Yeah, we solved the problem to a certain extent with regard to the COVID, but look at what inflation is doing to my pockets. Look, I have to make a decision as to whether I drive my car or do I have dinner tonight. You know? I mean, that's what I look at. And you know, it to me, we have to keep beating the drum. We cannot afford. Biden's got to do more. And it's not about having a little powwow up in Wilmington, you know, trying to see if he could get it together, you know, and do something that would give the imagery that once he leaves the United States and he goes to the climate summit and overseas to meet with the foreign dignitaries, oh, that we have everything locked down. No, we don't have every freaking thing locked down. There's still unrest in the streets, you know. The Rittenhouse situation is unfathomable. And the fact that you had a bunch of elected Republicans today, you know, chewing up Garland, the Attorney General, because he wants to conduct an investigation into all these school board incidents. Can you imagine? You know, I mean, I'm just saying, it is as blatant as that. You know, the whole thing with the critical race and why they don't want this. You know, why shouldn't America not know their history and generations, you know, down the line not know what went on? You know, it's freak. You know, you're all going to force me to curse, and I really don't want to.
Yeah, I relegate
that anger to Eric Payne.
I think what happens is what we see is that there's a concerted effort to bring back those eras of the 50s and 60s. And white supremacy coming back and these people snatching people up like they've been continuously doing. I don't think they've ever stopped, which is why sometimes you have black people just straight missing or ended up dead, other than the cops just shooting them right in front of people. That would have been the case with Ahmaud Arbery had the jackass not been shooting it with his phone. They would have killed him. They would have left him on the side of the road. They would have drove off and they would have been either picked up on somebody's door cam or whatever, and who knows what would have happened. It's a concerted effort by these people and by the people at the right, and what Byron was saying, I heard Eddie Glaude say on the show with what's his face in the morning, Joe Scarborough, was that the same exact thing you said, Byron. And when it gets to a certain point where there's time to do something, or it gets to that critical point, and these actions aren't being taken by so-called allies, friends, and fellow party members, then only one thing can be construed as that, and that is they are complicit. We have members in the Democratic Party that are complicit. Clearly, we have two very clear examples with Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. And who knows who else is a little bit more, you know, more conservative in their support of the Democratic Party. Now, certainly all of the Republicans, maybe 1% or 2% of them that don't believe, that don't buy into it. But, you know, my more concern is how we can prepare ourselves to respond to to all of this stuff. Particularly, what it is one of the things I wrote about the description of the show is the battle against teaching history, or like I like to call it truth story. Because like I was saying earlier when we started the show, is that we've been told their story. throughout our lives. I mean, I'm sure you guys learn new historical facts every day, even at your advanced and my advanced age in life. There's new historical facts that I learn, new aspects of barbarism, new aspects of terror that were perpetuated against us as a people here in this country. That just boggles my mind when I learn a new fact. It's all, and that's when you become to, and you believe that, yes, white supremacy was the order of the day. It was the practice, because it's clear, because they kept fucking with us. Even when we didn't want to mess with them, they came and fucked with us. Even when we let's go, let's be away from these people, form our own community, what would happen? They would come over there to fuck with us.
Right.
So that tells me it must be objective, some of these people said.
The one thing that it comes home clearly, you know, and it's kind of a side story, but it's the story of America. I had a conversation just last night with a full professor from the University of Kansas who wrote a little short 10-minute play called Sheriff. I'm not going to give his name because this is pointedly exactly what we're talking about. This gentleman is supposed to be a learned individual. And he wrote a short piece that's called Sheriff, which is supposed to depict Sheriff Apeo from Maricopa County as a warden of a prison and then have his prison guard. He and this individual writing about a young a black man who come to complain about the treatment of the people of color in the prison, and then mocking him as if it is funny that he can do this, talking to this prisoner as if to say, "Well, I know you're concerned. You're tired of getting beaten. Well, we don't do that at our prison. We do what we give is massage therapy." Now, literally, after I read this eight-page, what he defined as a comedy, and I had an intellectual conversation with this gentleman last night, and I said, on what planet do you think this is funny? Because the minute you put this up, and I'm insulted, no wonder we can't get police reform. I mean, I laid him out very professionally, but I let him know that if you think this is comically neat, and this is an individual who's established, a playwright, he has been done many plays. I mean, he's no spring chicken. And then I asked him the major question, which let me know exactly what he didn't learn in his PhD moment, getting his credentials. And I asked him, do you know who Douglas Turner Ward is? He said, no. Eric. Wayne. The man didn't even know who the quintessential co-founder of the most important black theater company in this country ever.
Right.
And did not know his name. And I had to point to him, well, if you really want to write satire, you need to look at and read another one-act play called Day of Absence.
Right.
Because if you don't know this, then you here is where your learned individual has failed in all of his degrees and has about as clueless about life and about people and color. And I told him at the end, I said, listen, I can help you fix this, but I'm going to tell you right now, you can't present this in public. I don't even want to be a part of it. And ultimately, we as scribes and as storytellers have a moral obligation to tell the truth. And the truth must, if you want to speak comedy and satire, then you still have to speak a truth that is universal. And we have an obligation right now to heal the things that have messed up in our country. We are at a racial divide right now like never, ever before. And as a historian, and I told him, I'm telling him just like I'm telling you right now, as a historian, we have to go back to those moments where all of this was starting post-Reconstruction and realize exactly why we are in the condition that we are in today. Now,
Gotcha. Let me go to a caller. We got to Byron. Take a break for a second.
Yeah.
Let me go to a caller. Let me go. We got somebody that's called on the line, which not too often,
but
I want to get their comments. All right. If you want to make a comment, caller, your line is open. Hello? Maybe you're just listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just listening for now.
All right.
I guess you guys are talking about the evolution of white supremacy is what I'm getting so far.
Uh-huh. That's where we are. Caller. So if you're just listening, I'm gonna close your mic out, sir.
How about if I put myself on mute? Because if you want me to respond at one time or another, I can put myself on mute and then unmute myself and respond.
Oh, okay. Do you want to give your name, caller, or do you want to remain?
My name's Joe.
Okay, Joe.
Joe.
All right.
I'll put myself
on
mute.
Welcome aboard, Joe.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. Put yourself on mute.
So, Eric. The notion is we have such intellectuals in our country that are so clueless about the concept of reality that when they write a comic relief piece, they're not even engaging the sensitivity that a viewer of color might find very, very dismissive and intellectually. I mean, where and why do you think that's a funny thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, you understand that then we have a Kyle Rittenhouse and a judge who is perpetuating that very concept of, well, because, and if you watched the MSNBC documentary on this past Sunday on the Civil War, and then one of the segments asked a white person from Mississippi whose father lost his farm during Reconstruction and was absconded from him, and then he had problems because he lost his deed to his farm that he was trying to keep in his family. And the question was asked, well, did you think it was fair to treat as we treated slaves in this country? And he said, yes. And he said, and then the interviewer said, well, why? He said, because it was legal. That's your answer? That is your answer?
That's a
so
justification.
He has to change. He's still angry from the Civil War.
Yeah, that's a justification. Yo, let's move on to
And he was not even present at that time.
As you relating,
that's the thing that gets to me.
You're relating entertainment, so you jump to that. So let's continue this discussion because I think there is a connection with some of the flack that Dave Chappelle has been catching as of late.
Yes.
I don't know. Did we get a chance to discuss this last week? I don't remember, but if we did, we're going to discuss it again.
Only briefly.
And so,
but
I
like
just,
his response. He said,
yeah,
"I'm not bowing."
I do like his response. Let's talk about it. So, Dave catching his flack, like you've got this ongoing thing with the trans community, and basically the bottom line to me, and I think his point is that you know he's not against the trans or gay community or any of the all of the spectrums of the letters, but there is he does speak with the observation of many black people, I think. In observing that the gay movement, that there's a racial element to the gay movement. Gay and white gets things done. Gay people who happen to be white have the power of their whiteness in a white supremacist society. And black people who happen to be gay, unfortunately, don't have that power. And they catch hell from not only the community at large, but also their own community to a certain degree, right? We know that's a fact, and that's an issue in the black community that we need to work on in terms of being more accepting of people who happen to be gay or LGBTQ, whatever, and the various other letters. So, but I think that, you know, that's the point that Dave was making, you know, when he says, if you haven't seen it, you should check out the special on Netflix, but when he says, I don't have an issue with you, basically I'm paraphrasing, but he does say, I am amazed at your movement and the progress that you have made over the years. And it does seem like, and I think the issue we might have mentioned a little bit when John Gruden caught the hell from making these comments when he was talking about the brother, it was, you know, okay, you know, he slapped on the wrist and he was catching all this flack and he had to say this. But then it seemed like once he started saying something about gay people, and I don't know whether that was the linchpin to really get him fired, but he called a lot more hell than just talking about black people, you know, and it's almost as if that's a little bit acceptable, you know, or and this is totally not acceptable. And I think that there's the element of race that comes in with the movement. And if anybody, I would say that gay individuals happen to be white, we need the power of your whiteness to help more black people out in achieving their civil rights and could get on par with all of you have achieved. And so it can be a total movement, everybody rising as opposed to a few. And I think the black gay people that are protesting Dave or might have an issue with that, unfortunately, they're fighting, they're catching hell from both sides. But I think that the hell that they catch, that they're going to catch if from a hateful mob a mile away, is going to be the hell of being in black skin before they're able to decipher whether they're a gay person or a trans person or whatever. That's my opinion on it. I mean, my mother had a dance school, so I was around at a very early age individuals who were gay, who cross-dressed, maybe eventually became trans or whatever, who were, you know, when I was a kid and my mom was teaching class and they were working in the office, obviously in a dance studio was one of the few places they were accepted, right? And, you know, they were human beings just like me. And they were people that during that time were babysitters for me, looked out for me, took care of me, you know, when my mother was not able. So, you know, before somebody wants to jump around and say I'm anti whatever, you can come with all of that. But, you know, you try to understand where people are coming from. And I don't think that Dave is not speaking the truth. And I think he brings out some very real factors in that particular issue.
I wish he
wouldn't say the N-word, but he ain't going to stop saying it. And there's a certain segment of his audience that it relates to. So I'm not going to pick at the brother because of that, you know, because that's his comedy and that's art and it's a subjective thing. Right. And he doesn't seem to come after one group or another over any other group. You were going to say.
I was just going to, because Dave Chappelle is speaking on several issues here, because at the same time, this ultra right wing and yes, is being processed as a right wing conspiracy here. But no, racism and white supremacy is there. Concept and theory that they operate on. Everything that's not that becomes their biggest enemy. Just like the book thing with Toni Morrison, and you know, because now I when you were talking about, and I was began to say, wait a minute, why is this so familiar? Because now I'm gonna go Jewish for a moment. Kristallnacht. What was that about?
What? Who?
Burning of books. Kristallnacht.
Kristallnacht.
Right.
Go back. That's right. Come on, Mr. Newsman. You know what I'm getting ready to reference is because now
refresh
they
people's
began to learn the book of Jewish, the Jewish written book, their art, their writing, their paintings. They were gathered them all in the square and lit them.
They
and
didn't
why?
Want their
because,
history. Right. Go ahead,
yes.
Byron.
Ultimately, now we have this critical race theory. It's like you're banning the books that talk about the truth about our existence. You want me to start hating my ancestors. Hating my heroes and sheroes who write the truth about my existence, which then nullifies what we do, Eric, as artists. You want me to be your slave. You want me to accept your writing about my life as if it was funny.
Let Wayne jump in.
I have to agree. I mean, the thing is, and I thought there was a brilliant analogy there between Kristallnacht and the fact that this movement to basically destroy critical thinking when it comes to our racial past and stuff like that in this country, there is a similarity there, but you know it's deeper than that. And with respect to Dave Chappelle, I think he's a great actor, comedian, and what he does. But you know, again, as you called attention to that playwright a moment ago, Byron, about you know how he was trying to inject his process in terms of comedy, you know, I think we're at a point now where we have to even just sort of monitor how we project. I understand the whole concept of our artistic license and the use of the word nigger, but, you know, not everybody understands that. And if you're saying it enough and you consider, because you're a person of color projecting that, it's considered acceptable, well, you know, Dave Chappelle said it, Richard Pryor said it, and, you know, everybody laughed and thought it was okay. But, you know, when somebody else outside the culture says it, and they say it to your face thinking, well, you know, no, I'm not down with that. And I don't know where to draw the line, because to me the horse is out the barn now. You have like several generations, you know, when you look between Pryor and Chappelle, both talented comedians, both articulate in their own way in projecting what was going on in these continental United States at that particular time in terms of having that political thermometer in the mouth of Mother America about what was happening here. But at the same time, you know, I just often wonder, you know, there just doesn't seem to be any rule. There's no algorithm to follow when it comes to us, and we need to check that. And,
we need to establish some for ourselves. Good. Finish your point, Wayne. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, and I thought, Eric, you came up with an excellent example when it comes to the whole gay rights movement. You know, in many ways, they've capitalized on what we've done, and yet they're the ones who are extended opportunities, you know. And unlike you, I came up in a Caribbean experience. I'm ashamed to say this, because I see the world a lot differently now. And I have to give credit. I say this all the time. I've told my family this, told my friends. I had an opportunity to work with Rachel Maddow years ago, you know, and it was only after I had an encounter with her that I understood, you know, basically the similarities. But trust me, when it comes to skin color, they still have the freaking edge as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You know,
so within the,
but
so
I'm ashamed.
Out,
you go ahead.
Now, before
I'm
you
sorry,
go,
I, didn't get that.
I think I know where you. I think I know where you're going, because I have a my best friend Michael Ralph is Jamaican, so he shared with me some of the perspective from a Caribbean perspective along those lines. But both scenarios, where we're talking about Dave and Rich, and where you're going, with is I think have been affected within the context and confines of white supremacy. And let me just do a real quick aside. When we talk about white supremacy, you know, it's everybody's affected by it in this country because this country was based on it. But when we talk about it, we're not saying that all white people obviously practice white supremacy. We're all a part of the system, and you might benefit from it unknowingly, but obviously we're not saying that all white people practice white supremacy, and the teaching of that history helps people, white and black. My father, writing the Amistad legislation here in New Jersey, helps people, white and black, understand and have a little bit of better understanding, and maybe you're not thinking that certain people are second-class citizens. But, you know, I'm getting sidetracked, but what you're getting ready to say, I think, was also that mentality was within the confines of white supremacy, right? Because I know that Jamaica was an island that was used to for buck breaking, if you know, understand that phrase and what that means. And so the concept of homosexuality and all that has a different context. You understand it can't be in a pure, you can't look at it like this is a pure a notion of two human beings coming together because, or a human being is this way because they are this way. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I hear what you're saying, but again, it's a throwback to the British culture, Jamaica, mm-hmm. Trinidad, Tobago, Barbados, all the islands, you know, were under British rule. This was something that I don't know where it began. I can't go back as far as to say that, you know, it started on the European continent, but I do know the effects of it, you know, in terms of it's something, if you were that way, you hit it as best as you could, and if you came out, you had hell to pay for it, you know? I've seen that in my own family in terms of relatives, you know? I've seen that with other people, but again, it's part of that Caribbean, and it's not just British alone, the Spanish Empire, everybody had their own thing, and these people were ostracized. So
right,
we're in an
right.
age now where, you know, the whole gay rights movement is tantamount to what civil rights has been for black folks in this country, you know?
Right.
And
I'm
not saying...
You mind if I interject?
Yeah.
Finished?
Sure.
Okay. What's your evidence of white supremacy today? Not slavery, not Jim Crow, but white supremacy today.
Policy, legislation in the federal government, in the state houses that are oppressing people of color. Voting rights. Child care.
Voting rights.
You can go down
okay,
the list.
So
every single piece of legislation is tainted with racism
such as,
when it engages and involves people of color.
Such as?
I just gave you. You want more? I mean, I live in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, well, Mom, I don't want general
You know,
principles.
Wherever you are
you
exist,
saying,
from that, from that
saying,
place, I live on a plantation. Now, I can give you examples of that. What happened on the plantation?
I'm not talking, I said, not slavery, not Jim Crow. When you're going to talk about voter suppression.
I didn't even mention that.
What is it that you're trying to elicit from us?
It's for the sake of discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah. What are the examples of white supremacy? Do you believe in systemic racism? What are the examples? Because
yes.
White supremacy means that black people are being kept down from achieving their potential illegally
right,
and immorally.
I can give you an example, really. When we're talking about lending practices and loans, right? So guys were getting loans when they came back from the war. Martin Luther King talks about this. You can YouTube this at any time. They were discriminating against giving loans to black GIs so they could come, you know, back in when a lot of the soldiers and GIs were coming home and they were getting loans to help them start families and build communities, which I believe might be a community in Long Island was developed that way. They had zoning laws or restrictive laws against lending to blacks, letting blacks move in these communities. That's one example that I know of.
Here's another
one. We're going back. He's
when
going
you
back
were
50 years
it,
ago. But
when
what
you
is your point?
Yeah, you're going back to the 1960s.
The,
I'm talking about
that's
white
that's
supremacy.
When you were watching
election.
The insurrection on January 6, 2021,
right.
Did you
that
ever
was,
consider
oh,
the here. People of Washington, D.C., who have lived in this city ever since the Capitol was built, under a guidance of the federal government, we have taxation without representation. That is as systemic as you need to get to. Right now, 2021, when they climb
I'll
that
tell
building.
You what. Yeah, all right. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm putting together a debate between conservatives and liberals. I've got three liberals
mm-hmm.
who have volunteered and three conservatives. The topics I'm putting together, if I ever get it together, would be white supremacy, vaccines, and immigration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the moderator, again, if I put it together. And I'll be doing it according to the format of the Supreme Court style, in which people will be in front of the Supreme Court, if you ever watch that. And the Supreme
right.
Court judges, they stop the meandering. They stop the
right.
conversation from going sideways. They just keep going along the line in order to get down to the bottom line.
Right, court
so,
of law. Understood.
Any of you guys want to volunteer for that if I ever put it together?
Sure, if you
sure.
give us a little information about yourself.
Absolutely.
Your name is Joe so far,
yeah.
So why don't you give us a little background about who you are and, you know,
yeah.
what's the organization? That would be great.
I don't have an organization.
What?
I'm a guy that just goes to Blog Talk Radio. I go to certain shows. There's a show I go to fairly regularly.
Mm.
And I'm going to put the debate on his show because he has 21,000 Twitter followers. I figure that's an incentive for people to go there because then their show, your show, would get some promotion. But it's going to be done. Again, I'm the moderator. There won't be any meandering. When I ask a question, I expect an answer short and brief, or I move on.
Joe,
what's the objective,
I can share,
sir,
with you, having lived in Washington, D.C., is that both of my parents invited white, black, Muslim, Jews, Christians to our living room to have that open conversation, the kind that you just kind of framed, to talk about how do we bridge the gap? How do we talk and get an opportunity to take all the barriers down and come to common ground? Because that's what we're going to have to do. And if we continue to build these walls of race and sex and religion and any other ism that you want, because that's a wall that's going to keep out the opportunity to come to common ground.
Fine. Right. And when we get to the topic of racism, it might be the first one, it might be the third one. It might occur a week from now, 2 months from now, as long as I get people together. Then we'll talk about it. And again, I will be stopping people in their tracks once they meander. If the people don't like it, they can mute themselves or get off. So if you guys want to volunteer, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you on the list. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Joe, one other
thing. I would throw in, I would like to know what it is that we're participating in, but I gather, Eric, you can get all that information.
Yeah. Well,
it's simple.
I mean,
it's a debate.
And Joe,
there's
one
side
things
which
that
are liberals.
Me.
There are.
Joe, hold on, Byron, hold on for a second, B.
What were you saying, Joe? You were saying what now?
It's a simple debate. It's going to be on a show called Beyond the Mainstream. One side will be conservatives. The other side will be liberals.
Mm-hmm.
The topics discussed will be either racism or immigration or vaccines. Both sides will have the same documents in front of them, because that way they'll be able to check out each other's references and evidence.
Right.
We'll be starting off with, on both sides, what's your evidence? What makes you believe that that particular evidence is true as opposed to what you believe now? Stuff like that.
I see.
Okay. All right. That's all it is. It's just a simple debate.
Yeah.
Because whenever I go to liberal shows or even conservative shows, when conservative and liberals get together, it's like oil and water. They don't mix.
Right.
So in order to get down to the bottom line.
If I may ask.
Yeah.
Huh? Joe, where do you live? Where do you reside?
Montana.
Okay, Montana. And here's something that really concerns me. Outside the DMV, which we call District, Maryland, Virginia, most people don't know what goes on inside that capital. They have a concept that is given to them in history books that is about their civic responsibility, but they are clueless to the issue of power. D.C., for instance, Joe, has 30 different police forces protecting this city. There's nothing that goes on in Washington that every listening agency, every police department does not know. But outside, and let's say Montana is, where it's a beautiful state, love the visual, Hannah, but do they really understand what goes on even inside their own capital, let alone the nation's capital? There's a disconnect here that we need to find some way to bridge it, because the power that goes on in this country it emanates not just for the nation, it's a global issue.
Very true, and how are you going to do it if people keep going at each other's throats or verbally, if they don't understand each other's side, if they don't get down to the bottom line? Again, when liberals and conservatives get together, neither one of them likes each other's point of view. So one of the reasons for the debate is that, so that people can find out, okay, I understand that particular side now, or I've been wrong all my life about certain sides. People have confirmation biases. I'm going to penetrate that when I start asking very pointed questions to keep people online. So since you guys have volunteered, I'm going to keep your number, and then I'll get back to you. I do not give out emails. I do not give out phone numbers because I don't trust anybody on Block Talk Radio or the Internet. Capiche?
I hope one of the documents you give to the participants is a copy of the Constitution. They need to have that as a reference point if they're going to discuss it. I'm a historian, and I have to use that document as a premise for the beginning, the middle, and where.
Yeah, well, your conservatives, conservatives feel that they know the Constitution, so do a lot of liberals. But when it comes to the Constitution, I've heard people say, well, I know the Constitution. Personally, nobody knows the Constitution. Okay, you may know it by rote. Some people have gotten 100 on exams with regards to the Constitution, but until people read the Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers, and all the private and public writings of Jefferson, Adams, et cetera, they don't know the Constitution, especially if they haven't written articles about it and have it peer-reviewed. Not even the people in the Supreme Court know the Constitution that well, because everybody thinks they know the Constitution. But until that particular viewpoint is actually scrutinized by the other viewpoint and done with critical thinking, again, you have to read the Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers, and the private and public writings of the so-called Founding Fathers. Oh, so and here's a simple question. Who was the first president of the United States?
Henson.
Okay, so you know about the eight people who were president before Washington came along. Okay. A lot of people don't.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, all right. So, again, I will keep your number, keep you guys in mind. I'll get back to you if I ever get this together. I have some volunteers, but it's going to take some logistical legwork. Okay? Mm-hmm.
You got a lot on your plate.
Excuse me. This sounds very interesting, and thanks for the invite on behalf of all of us. But I was just, listening to you, to what you're saying. I was just curious, how do you describe yourself? Liberal, conservative,
I'm a libertarian. Civil libertarian, primarily.
Libertarian.
Okay.
A libertarian is somebody who believes in extremely small government, keep the government out of my business, and hopefully it'll put a cap on corruption. What we have today is not capitalism, it's crony capitalism. And civil rights, human rights are paramount. I believe in individual freedom, in which I can do anything I want to do as long as I don't encroach upon the freedoms and rights of somebody else. When those rights and freedoms are in conflict, then you have to settle them. You settle them either by each other, or if you're in a town, village, city, then you can appoint somebody, such as a judicial system, in order to settle those conflicts.
And one other question, since you brought up vaccinations, if you don't mind, have you been vaccinated?
Hell no.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that point to it?
And why not?
I had a feeling that was the case, but I thought maybe,
because it's been shown
that
the vaccinations have been dangerous, are dangerous.
Have you ever been vaccinated?
Scientifically shown.
Going into school?
Yeah.
At the elementary school? Have you ever been vaccinated?
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is, guys.
Okay.
We got to go.
Thank you. I mean, because at that point.
We've got to put a pin in it right now, Byron. We've got to put a pin in it.
That's irrelevant.
Yeah. We've got to close it out, but I'll stop there.
Okay.
Hey, Joe.
You
get back.
No, it was a. That question, when I got vaxxed as a kid, is irrelevant to whether or not I choose this vaccination as an adult, and the premises are different.
Right.
That
gotta
will
go.
Also be. Okay. All right, guys. Good talking to you. Hopefully I'll get this together, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
That'll be good, Joe.
Take it easy now.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
All right. This has been Kay's Son and Friends. Thanks, Joe, for calling in. Discussion. That's what I'm talking about. Guys, Byron, why don't you give your send-off, Byron, real quick. Last 40 seconds.
Peace and love, everybody. Don't forget, we are the majority. Do not pay attention to people who claim to be American and understand the law, because those are terrorists. We have domestic terrorists in our Congress, and they have to be removed.
All right. Thank
have
you,
Have a blessed
all
evening.
Right. Talk to you later. Take care. Go on, Wayne Gilman. Give the people your send-off, Wayne.
Hey, man. This is one time we could have done with another hour, but keep hope alive, as I sing each week. That's all I have to say.
Right. There you go, Brother Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. That was Byron Saunders, legendary historian. I'm Eric K's son and friends. Look forward to talking with Joe and maybe having a debate. And Americans can talk to each other. How about that? And work some stuff out. You know, I've heard the phrase before somewhere. Come let us reason together. Got to be out. Got to go, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Come on, the fucking drama.